Good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. I just want to take a moment to thank several of our KPCC listeners, supporters. We've been doing that all this week on the program. And today I want to thank from Santa Ana, Marianne Chavez, Heather Berg in Tustin, Donna Kent in Pasadena, Philip Swan in Pasadena, Julia Wang in South Pasadena, Torrance resident Wenson Ye, Andre Vanderhall of Los Angeles, and Janet Fleischman of LA. Thank you all so much for your support. And these are just a few of the tens of thousands, so many people who support KPCC financially. It means a great deal to us. Well, as you know, we've recently had on the program Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon. Yesterday, we heard from the president of the Los Angeles County Association of Deputy District Attorneys, Michelle Hannessy, on to talk with us about the successful legal action they took against their boss over a number of changes he brought to their department, such as not pursuing three strikes cases. A judge issued a temporary injunction against that. Also, DA Gascon saying that they will not seek enhancements in sentencing for such things as using a gun in the commission of a crime, a hate crime enhancements, a number of others that his office, gang enhancements, that they will not pursue. And the judge, at least temporarily, turning those changes aside. Yesterday, Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer released a number of points that he says are going to lead to changes in his office. And he joins us right now. Mr. Spitzer, thank you for being with us on Air Talk.
It's my honor. Thank you, Larry.
You say in the release that was put out several days ago, we as a society have engaged in systemic mass incarceration. As a prosecutor, I will stop it. We as a society have prosecuted people of color differently. As a prosecutor, I will stop it. So let me start with what you mean by that. Looking at these disparities in how people of different races come out under the law, what changes specifically are you looking at making?
I'm very concerned, and thank you for the opportunity, that our jails and our prisons are warehouses for the mentally ill and those who are addicted to drugs. I believe, you may not know, Larry, I was a City of Los Angeles police officer as a reserve while I was a prosecutor in the early days from 1990 to 2000. I was a high school English teacher at Roosevelt High in East LA. I grew up in East Los Angeles. I come from a community of color, and I come from a community where people were treated differently based upon the color of their skin. And I will tell you that I'm very, very concerned about what's happening in Los Angeles. And I have to deal with the aftermath of that because we get a lot of individuals who come down to Orange County who engage in criminal conduct. And we're one society. And what I'm very appreciative of Mr. Gascon is that he has tried to set a table to allow us to have a conversation about the changes that need to be made in the system. Where I vehemently disagree with him is how he is doing it. And I really am concerned that we should be having a discussion, but Mr. Gascon is so jeopardized his credibility by not going after the serious and violent offenders that I'm very much afraid that this discussion is going to go by the wayside for reform because he is going to be thrown out of office. And I'm pretty confident if he continues not to go after child predators and murderers and things like that and keep those people away from society, he's going to have a very short time in office. I put out these principles, Larry, because I believe in them. I am implementing them in Orange County, and I want to have a discussion with all prosecutors across this country about the future of prosecution in America.
So how would you do that? Are you looking at, for example, not prosecuting three strikes cases, not prosecuting under enhancements that are part of California criminal law? What are the ways that you would decrease prison population and bring a higher degree of racial balance to the prison population?
So, for example, you heard and saw that Paul Koretz, my former colleague in the state legislature, LA City Councilman, got a unanimous vote of the LA City Council to ask Chief Moore to come back and say, why is crime out of control in Los Angeles? Why are homicides up? And people, your superintendent in LA is talking about the fact that, you know, gang members and other kids are bored. They don't have things to do. And homicides and other kinds of activities up. I have a gang reduction program in Orange County. We're still doing it virtually, but we're still helping kids and keeping them out of trouble, and we're doing gang prevention. That is happening in Los Angeles, but a lot of it has been diminished during the pandemic. I don't believe that we should be sending mentally ill people to jail. We should be immediately upon arrest, evaluating them and triaging them and putting them into programs. Those who are addicted to drugs should not be spending time in jail where they're not getting any help and their issue only becomes worse and they become a convict. And then their chances of social rehabilitation and responsibility are diminished. So we are not investing at the front end. In terms of the serious and violent felons, Larry, listen, that's where I differ greatly from Mr. Gascon. Mr. Gascon wants to dismiss all enhancements. I'll give you an example. I have a kid that was murdered in 1981, 6 years old, sexually molested, abducted, kidnapped, murdered. He was taken out of Orange County, murdered, and dumped in Los Angeles County. Another kid, same suspect, 6 years old, abducted in Agoura Hills. He's facing life without the possibility of parole or death in L.A. I'm trying to get that case back because Mr. Gascon is not pursuing enhancements on, and this man has prior convictions for child molestation. He's not pursuing the most serious and violent offenders. And that's where we have to make sure that we're protecting the community, we're protecting victims, and we're making people safe. But we should deal on the front end with the low-level offenders, and we should be dealing with the people who are creating great societal problems for all of us.
Mr. Gascon points out that studies show that beyond 20 years of imprisonment, there's really no benefit to public safety beyond that, and that anything beyond 20 years is essentially just being punitive for the sake of being punitive, and that those longer sentences, which came into fashion over the past several decades, have exacerbated this race and ethnicity gap in who's in prison. What's your response to that, that beyond 20 years really doesn't provide any societal benefit?
Pull out the studies, Mr. Gascon, that tell us that men who abduct kids off the streets, complete stranger children, kidnap them, sexually assault them, rape them, can be rehabilitated. There's no evidence of that, and there's no studies of that, irrespective of time. Men do not age out as pedophiles, and I know the literature and I know the data. So I'm more than happy to sit down with Mr. Gascon. I've asked to sit down with Mr. Gascon. He refuses to. And what he's become, Larry, is a man on an island. Of the 58 prosecutors in California, he's only got two, himself, Chesa Boden in San Francisco, Dinah Becton in Contra Costa, who are like-minded. He needs to understand. He needs to come to the table. He's moved too quickly. He has not following the law. And his deputy district attorney sued him and at least temporarily won because this is the point. Can we do better? Of course. But shouldn't we commit to protecting our community against the most serious and violent offenders and then work collectively to divert the mentally ill and young people at an early age who can be rehabilitated?
What I'm still trying to get at, though, is I understand what you're talking about, drug diversion programs, mental health resources to deal with those who commit crimes who are dealing with severe mental illness, and that those resources have not been prioritized. But even if you do that, when you're looking at all the sentence enhancements that came into effect over recent decades, and if you don't touch those, how do you get at the issue, what you described as systematic mass incarceration and these racial differentials? I don't understand, just dealing with these things on the front end, how you get to that larger goal.
What are the things, if you told me you had a heart problem and I had to do surgery on you, Larry, would I automatically go to your aorta, or would I actually examine what issue you might have with your heart? If I have an infection, do I always prescribe penicillin, or do I prescribe something else? The reason I'm a professional, licensed, and went to law school is because I'm supposed to look at every case on a case-by-case basis. So I do not necessarily charge all enhancements. We are required under present law to charge all strikes under the law. However, in court, when we negotiate cases and discuss our cases with the judge, those strikes are oftentimes stricken and dismissed in the interest of justice. In other words, what I'm telling you, Larry, is Mr. Gascon's taken a cookie-cutter approach to law enforcement. He always wants to operate on the aorta. He always wants to prescribe penicillin. He's not using discretion, and there's literally no analysis on the background of the defendant, the impact on the victims, and the safety to society. He's directing his prosecutors to always do it one way. That is not how you operate as a professional prosecutor in the state of California.
Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer with us on Air Talk. What's your response to those who say that police should be defunded? A significant portion of what goes to funding police departments should go to mental health services, and that first response in the cases where someone is in emotional distress or suffering a mental health crisis, the police should not be dispatched. It should be specially trained mental health professionals. And if you agree with that approach, what can your office do to make that happen in Orange County?
All right, so let me break that down. That's two questions. The first one is about a dual response to mental health crises. I completely support that, and it's in my policy positions that I issued. The city of Anaheim in Orange County is already doing a pilot to try that, to see how it works, not jeopardizing the public and not jeopardizing officer safety. And the city of Los Angeles, which I support their efforts, is also looking at implementing that as well. With respect to defunding the police, let me tell you the irony of that, which is how I talked about, you know, Mr. Koretz, City Councilman Koretz's motion to City Council this week, saying to the chief, after cutting $150 million, right, under Measure J in Los Angeles, cutting $150 million, why is crime going up? Why are carjackings going up? Why are murders going up? Why are serious and violent felonies in the city of Los Angeles, which is in the county of Los Angeles, going up? There's an absolute direct relationship between the amount of police, investigators, detectives who are deployed in the field, and the amount and the ability to solve crimes that are being perpetrated by in the communities. Larry, it's communities of color, ones where I taught high school and ones where I was a police officer, that suffer the most from a lack of police services. It's not over-policing. Yes, should blacks be stopped because of the color of their skin? Absolutely not. But should we be enforcing and taking care of, like Mike Fuhrer, your city attorney, is doing in the city of Los Angeles? He's doing an injunction on an apartment building that's out of control and jeopardizing public safety in the community. So it's not about defunding the police. It's about properly funding programs. It's properly funding education, properly taking care of our young people, properly offering diversion programs, supporting former gang members and prisoners who got out and now are trying to keep people like themselves from going in the same direction. That's where we should all be on the same page.
Okay, but it sounds like you support a dual response of law enforcement with mental health professionals. You don't support what many advocates have called for, of not having police part of that response.
It has to be done delicately and carefully, and it's up to the dispatcher and proper training. The last thing you need is a person in mental health crisis. And Larry, I have the unfortunate duty as the DA of reviewing all officer-involved shootings. Do I believe when an officer is dispatched in a mental health crisis that it oftentimes makes it worse? The situation escalates when it could de-escalate with a psychological professional? Absolutely. Do I believe people in mental health crisis oftentimes want to use the police to kill them? Yes, I absolutely do, and I see this all the time. Have I seen mental health crises where an individual is armed with a weapon that's secreted under their shirt, and when the police get there, they expose the weapon when they might have done that to their mother, their brother, or their sister who made the 911 call in the first place? Do I think today that family members are scared to death to call the police when a family member is having a mental health crisis because they're afraid that if the police get there, they will kill and shoot their loved one? I absolutely believe people do not call the police because they're afraid. So I support it as long as the evidence is showing it does not jeopardize our psychological healthcare workers who are dispatched to those calls. We can do it safely, and it actually results in de-escalation. I think in other states it's been proven to be successful. I think it absolutely can be implemented here, and I think it can be successful.
I want to ask you as well about the conviction integrity unit that you want to see established, because in Orange County, there have been a number of scandals. Most recently, we have a case where evidence was not booked in a timely fashion, calling into question that evidence being used against defendants, whether it was compromised or anything that might have damaged that evidence in the meantime. There have been cases where sheriff's deputies have falsified when they claim they booked that evidence. We had the informant scandal that took place, which tainted so many criminal cases. So what would this conviction integrity unit do to avoid the kinds of significant scandals that Orange County has had in its justice system?
Okay, so out of fairness to me, Larry, I do need to say that those scandals occurred before I got into office. The informant scandal was under my predecessor, Mr. Rakakis. We're under investigation by the Department of Justice. We don't use informants. We don't use informants, okay? We don't use jailhouse informants. I've completely rewritten the informant manual. And absent an extraordinary circumstance that must only be approved by me, cannot happen at any time anymore in Orange County. That's number one. Evidence booking. Yes, we did have sheriff's deputies in the Orange County Sheriff's Department who said they booked evidence and didn't. And so it was a scandal. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Guess what? I fully investigated it. I've dismissed many cases now as a result of the fact that the evidence wasn't booked. And I've done everything to make sure that we put these people back to the status quo situation they deserve. Let me make something very clear, Larry, that needs to be clear to the public. To sheriffs and police and prosecutors. We are not the police. We are attorneys who are trained and skilled to hold the police accountable. And when the police do not follow the law, it is our duty to protect and to implement defendants' rights and to preserve victims' rights. I have just as much a duty to make sure that the defendants are treated fairly and justly as I do to enforce the rights that victims have under Marcy's Law and the California Constitution. We are supposed to be neutral arbiters of justice. And what happens is when prosecutors become overzealous advocates, they hide evidence or they manipulate the courtroom procedures to get convictions, we all lose as a society.
But isn't there an inherent conflict of interest, because your office work so closely with law enforcement agencies, including the sheriff's department, that relationship is nurtured on an ongoing basis? So then how is your office able to objectively do officer and deputy investigations when there is that tight relationship that's just built into the way cases are prosecuted?
Because I have a whole special unit called the Special Prosecutions Unit. Those are highly skilled attorneys who don't really deal with police officers like you would in the gang unit or sexual assault or things like that. Do we, for example, Larry, you're interviewing me now. You're a journalist. And I, you know, from time to time, I'm on your show. I'm on, I get interviewed almost every day from my Orange County Register, LA Times reporters, and I have a relationship with them. But do they rip me apart most of the time, or do they point out when they think there's something going to add? Of course. And so we're professionals. You can have a relationship with me. It could be cordial. It could be professional. But yet you have every right and every obligation to question anything I do at any time, because I'm a public official. So I am a professional, and my prosecutors are highly skilled, trained, impartial lawyers. Now, do we have a duty to go after individuals who break the law? Absolutely. But do we do it at the expense of cheating police officers? Absolutely not. And that's why in evidence booking, I dismissed the charges, and why many of those deputy sheriffs have been fired from the sheriff's department.
All right. I want to thank you, Mr. Spitzer, for being with us. We appreciate your taking this time to talk about the new initiatives in the Orange County DA's office. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Todd Spitzer, Orange County District Attorney, with us on Air Talk. Coming up, We'll talk about the new trail that connects the Crenshaw District over the Baldwin Hills all the way down to the beach. It's a wonderful new trail to see some of the best views in Los Angeles. And KPCC reporter Sharon McNary's just done a wonderful feature on it. She'll be with us coming right up on Air Talk.